This is the Rain Report. From time to time, Rain presents different views of just where the U.S. amateur radio service is headed. Here are some thoughts on the matter from Mike Lamb, N7ML, the founder of the now-defunct Advanced Electronics Applications, better known as AEA.
I was the co-founder of AEA. Back in 1977, we went through the progression of AMTOR, and we were the first ones in the United States to offer AMTOR into our market. We were also the first ones to license the Tapper packet product that they brought out to the marketplace back in about 1980, I think it was. We've since moved on and gone through most data modes that are currently in use today. It was a real exciting period of time, I must tell you. I look back on it now, and it was really a pioneer feeling at the time. And I have to tell you that 4 years ago, I was really burned out on the business end of things. I lost my best friend and co-founding partner to cancer after a fairly long bout, and it took a lot out of me. And so in 1992... I semi-retired, and I went back to my favorite place on this planet, and that's a place in Montana, where I own some property, and I brought in a managing partner of the business. Personally, I decided to go back to Montana and see what the other side of life is like. My first goal that I set for myself, and I was very honest with my wife, was that I wanted to become the laziest man in the state of Montana. She assures me that I succeeded. And the second goal I had was I told her I wanted to learn how to have fun again. And I really meant it. Whereas I enjoyed the business and enjoyed working with hams, because I've been a ham since I was 12 years old, I was still burned out on it. So after actually a couple of years of doing a lot of things like farming and fishing and boating and you name it, I decided to get back into amateur radio. I decided to work on a lifelong goal of putting up a superstation. I think everyone in this room that's been in the hobby for more than 10 years probably has to admit he may have had that dream himself or herself. So I did it. I got a 195-foot rotating tower and a 190-foot rotating tower. One of the towers has a stack of 6 tri-band Yagis on it. The other one has a stack of 3 40-meter, three-element monoband Yagis. All of a sudden, with the 20 dB advantage of Montana as a multiplier and about 15 to 17 dB of gain in the stack tri-band array, I found out what it was like to go on a de-expedition. Any morning that the band was halfway open to Europe, I could get on, call CQ, and wind up with a volcanic eruption that usually was big enough I had to start taking the people by numbers. I'd never gone through that experience before. And every so often, I'd ask the Europeans to stand by and ask for Africa or Middle East, and lo and behold, I'd have a little mini pile up of 4X6s. It was great fun, I have to tell you. I enjoyed it thoroughly. One of the things I did as soon as I got to Montana was I got associated with the amateur radio club there. It's a very active amateur radio club called Gallatin Ham Radio Club, named after the county. They were sponsoring a class for novices at the local middle school. I got my license in the middle school, and I thought, okay, it's time for me to start putting a little back into the hobby. And so I volunteered to be an instructor there. It was great. I mean, working with these young kids that were the same age as I was when I first got into amateur radio, you know, it was a real eye-opening experience, because when I was 12 years old, we did not have internet, we did not have computers. We did not have worldwide telephone service at a reasonable cost. We did not have worldwide satellite TV. It was a totally different world. The kids today have got so many opportunities for exploration open to them that it's not hard to see why we're having a hard time getting them into amateur radio. But I'll tell you something. Having been in this hobby all my life, having had a chance to go back and reflect on it, I've come to realize that amateur radio is my life, and it's in me to the core, right through every rotten gut in my body. Boy Scouts had an adage that everyone should put into Boy Scouting more than what they got out of it. And I am here to tell you that looking around the room here, most of us have gray hair. I don't see any young people in the audience. I'm very concerned for the hobby, and I hope that other people are going to start sharing that concern, because I think we're in deep trouble. I think that if we don't start doing something in the next few years, we may start losing our precious spectrum, because in this country, they're auctioning off the spectrum, and they're absolutely amazed at the amount of money people are willing to bid. And that should be opening our eyes as wide open as anything that has ever touched us in the last 10 or 20 years. There's been some talk of trying to get a bill through Congress called something like Save the Amateur Radio Frequencies. It came up a few months ago, I believe, and it just suddenly died. And I'm very concerned that if we don't really take this seriously, we're going to lose it. We're all in this boat together, and whether we're PAC-TOR enthusiasts, whether we're Clover enthusiasts, whether we're GTOR enthusiasts, by God, we're all hams, we all have common roots, and we all have a common problem here. If we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately.
You're listening to a talk given by Mike Lamb, N7ML, founder of the now-defunct AEA, Advanced Electronics Applications. As excerpted from his 1996 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report.
I have been mulling this over considerably, trying to come up with some ideas for what we can do to make this a vibrant hobby again. And one of the problems we have is that when you try to interest a friend who comes over to see your ham shack in amateur radio, if there's a glimmer of interest there, you'll notice that the first question he'll ask is, well, what does it take to get my... The first thing you say is, well, you know, you can get a license by studying a manual on theory, on amateur radio theory, and you don't even have to get the code anymore. And the guy says, oh, great. How long will it take me? Well, you may have seen my article in QST, Zero to Technician in 2 days. There's been a letter to the editor I sent off. You can now do it Zero to Technician in 1 day, and you learn the material. You don't memorize the material. It's really a one-day class. It takes them 5 days to study after the class in the evenings. But it works, 85% pass rate. Okay, so you get over that hurdle. The guy says, well, that's not so bad. I can handle that. What can I do with it? Well, you can talk on VHF packet. You can talk to with a handy talkie through repeaters. How far? Oh, a few hundred miles, perhaps, depending on where you live. That's all reasonably exciting to him, but not too much. And he says, well, can't I get on the radio and talk to Ari in Israel like you just showed me? And I said, well, yeah, you can sure do that. And he says, well, what does that take? You have to have a knowledge of the Morse code. Now, before people jump to conclusions, I used to be able to copy 65 words per minute in my head. I can't do it anymore because I don't use high-speed CW anymore, but I'm definitely into contesting, CW contests, and I love it. I'm a CW enthusiast. But I'll be one of the first to admit that if we don't recognize the realities of what Morse code is doing to our hobby, we're going to lose it. We have got to bring some of these people that are very intelligent people into the hobby, even though they can't learn the code. And by the way, Morse code has nothing to do with intelligence. What I'm concerned about is that with the propagation being what it is today, that the activity level is low. And let's face it, those of us that have been around for 40 years in this hobby know that activity levels rise and fall with the sunspot cycle. We're in the bottom of the worst sunspot cycle I can remember in 39 years. I've never recalled a sunspot number of zero. Propagation is really poor. When we, in this country, brought out the novice enhancement program that allowed novices and technicians in the 10-meter band, we got a spurt of activity. We had some good hams coming in. They were using the frequencies. And guess which part of the 10-meter band is most in use today? The novice band that didn't appear before that time. When I teach a class, this is one of the things I always make a point of. When we have new people, you know what scares them more than anything else? They are scared to death of getting on the air and making a mistake. And I tell the people, look, I'm an amateur extra class, and I make mistakes. Every so often, I will jump on top of someone unknowingly. I always try to do my best to call QRL before I ever get on a frequency. On RTTY, that's really hard. But anyway, I still occasionally make a mistake. But it's always non-malicious. That's what I tell them. As long as your mistakes are not malicious, don't be afraid to get on the air and make them, because that's the only way you're going to learn. Now, for our part, when we hear these young people, hopefully, but new people anyway, making mistakes, it's perfectly fair to let them know what the amateur radio tradition is in a polite manner. Never cuss them out. Never make them feel small. They'll never come back if you do. And as aggravating as they can be at times, we have to remember, you know, that we also went through that. I'm still going through that. And I apologize when I make a mistake, and I'm never malicious. But as long as people are willing to work with each other, I think everything will be okay. I'm sorry, I could go on for hours on this subject. If any of you have any feelings about this, I would appreciate it if you would contact your regional director of the ARRL. And I think we need to do something fast. One of the things that if you look around in the exhibit hall, you'll notice there are very few new products. Most of the exhibitors you see out there have either cut back their spaces or have literally disappeared from the marketplace. When the activity level is down, the technology level is going to go down. We're going to lose the advancement in the state of the art. I'm very concerned for a lot of businesses out there. We've already lost several dealers, some of them major. And if this continues, it's going to wreak havoc on our hobby.
Mike Lamb, N7ML, founder of the now-defunct AEA, Advanced Electronics Applications. As excerpted from his 1996 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.